but I'm not so happy to see you. Uh-huh. Where are you from?
South
Africa. Oh, you are a friend from South Africa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, he said he'd pass times about the Kalindi today. Where did we leave off?
We were hearing about Santa Maria's and the catches of Verunaga. Is the
28.
Krishna had come.
Yeah. 28. We'll go to 29. Oh, yeah. Om Agyana Tivananda Shaya, Vananda Nasa 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 I had to cut cloth quietly.
I was thinking you should sit at the back
of the maybe in a different building or something.
I don't know if you're coming. What would we do?
Sit somewhere else, for sure. Yes. Well, Krishna makes leaves. He makes them very quietly. No one even noticed. Suddenly they're there.
Anyone else
giving food
so we can...
I've only had enough food. When we left... We had spoken about the 28th chapter, which of course, the 10th canto, which of course came after the 27th chapter. Let's see. Which was after the Govardhan Lila, which was the 25th chapter, the 24th and 25th chapter. Actually, in one sense, began in the 24th chapter, 23rd chapter, where in the place in Vrindavan, just by the Yamuna, called Bhatral. And there's a deity there called Bhatra Vihari. And right now there's a temple there, and outside the temple there's a huge boat. And one wonders what the huge boat is doing there. And it's quite a modern boat, and it's huge, and the Yamuna is quite certainly not right there. And even if it was, it would touch the bottom very easily, probably. So I think there was one sadhu who used to live in this boat. So somehow it ended up in front of Bhatral Bihari. Bhatral Bihari is very famous because there Krishna came as Bhatral Bihari to he sent his friends first to beg food on behalf of Balaram and Krishna, because the cowherd boys and Krishna were wandering nearby. Now this is, of course, astounding, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is unlimitedly opulent. And when one is unlimitedly opulent, one needs not to beg anything from anyone, obviously. Even if one has a little opulence in this world, there's no question of begging. Begging is for beggars. But Krishna, the unlimited, Supreme Lord, herding cows with his friends, and Balaram in the area, was asked by the boys that had gone early in the morning to take to herd the cows, so they were hungry. Actually, the boys themselves, being Vijayasis, were only thinking about Krishna. So they were thinking that Krishna is hungry. But if you ask someone directly, you must be hungry, aren't you? Of course, amongst boys, it's one thing. But if you say, are you hungry? And everyone, and you're in somebody's house, and they say, are you hungry? Well, that's the natural response. Oh, no, 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 I'm not hungry. So instead of saying to Krishna, are you hungry? And Krishna would respond, no, 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 I'm not hungry. The boy said, oh, Krishna, we're so hungry. And therefore Krishna told them how to get some food. He told them to go to the village of Bhatra. And in the village of Bhatra, he didn't use that name in the Bhagavatam, but that's where it is. In that village, there's a sacrifice being performed. And this is, in one sense, this is the beginning of the Govardhan Leela pastime, because the same sacrifice was going to be performed by Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna stopped that sacrifice. It was a sacrifice to Indra. It was a sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planets, to satisfy Indra. So Krishna wanted to stop that, and he had many reasons for that. And here's where the pastime actually began. So by this, Krishna, we know the story well, how the Brahmins refused. They wouldn't even respond to the boys when they came begging food on behalf of Balaram. Balaram being a Kshatriya, they used his name first. Balaram is nearby, Krishna is nearby, and they are hungry. Please, this is the proper time to give food in charity. So now, please give us some food so we can feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Brahmins, they completely ignored the request. They didn't even respond. They didn't even acknowledge the presence of the cowherd boys and their request. And the cowherd boys were so disappointed, they left in great frustration, and they went to Krishna. And Krishna, he told them, this is the nature of begging. When you beg, you sometimes gain what you want. Sometimes people ignore you. Sometimes you gain more than you want. Sometimes you're satisfied, very satisfied. Don't take it seriously. And also, these were Brahmins, so there was no difficulty in what they did. Prabhupada in Mayapur in 1976, in one lecture, he even made that point. Did I mention this last time? That he said that when you're begging, meaning when you're approaching someone on behalf of Krishna, for that time it was life membership more than anything else, or any kind of preaching, and the person doesn't give you what you have requested of him, don't be unhappy, don't be disappointed. And Prabhupada said, because that means that Krishna, in his heart, Upadrasya Anumanta Cha, he is the Anumanta, the permitter. He has not permitted this person to give. So don't be disappointed. Because a beggar, a preacher, duty is just to do their duty, or any devotee's duty, and the proper mentality is they just do their duty and leave the results up to Krishna. So when one is begging or distributing books or whatever, the result is between Krishna and the person as to how they will reciprocate with the request for service. So in any case, the cowherd boys were preached to by Krishna and said, this is the nature of begging. And then he told them to go back to the same village to the same place where the sacrifice was being performed, but this time approached the wives. Because the wives, different from the brahmanas, were devotees. They had somehow or another heard about Krishna, because in Vrindavan there were people who were wandering from one part of Vrindavan to another, selling things. People selling fruit in one village, they would go from one village to the next village, and they would tell the news of the last village they had visited to the next village they visited. And everyone in Vrindavan was always telling the news about Krishna. Because by nature, everyone in Vrindavan loved Krishna, but also this is Bhava Oshad. This is the medicine, the Oshad, the medicine that cures the disease of materialistic life. Now, usually we don't think of materialistic life as a disease, but in fact the whole thing from beginning to end is a disease, and it's a lethal disease ultimately, and it is bound to kill us. And this disease has one cure, and the one cure is to become attracted to Krishna, more and more attracted to Krishna. Because one who has that, takes that medicine, Baba Oshod, then he doesn't want, his taste is quite different. So it's actually essential for this reason. And also this taste is very pleasing to the heart and to the mind. Bharamat, Abhiramat is the word used in Bhagavatam 10th canto, 1st chapter. It is pleasing to the mind and the heart. The Krishna Kata. So the people in Vrindavan would only talk about Krishna. They had a natural and spontaneous taste for talking about Krishna and not to become absorbed in other things. How wonderful that is. And this is really the prayer that really ends the 26th chapter. Of course, it occurs a little later, is that the cowherd men and the residents of Vrindavan and also Vinod Goswami are all just praying, let me increase my attraction to Krishna. Because what else do we really want to attain in this world? Of course, we want to serve that attraction to Krishna and serve the devotees of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and their great mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha, all over the world, the holy names all over the world. But we want to increase our attraction to Krishna, and that will certainly help us in a wonderful way serve the holy names of Krishna and attraction to Krishna. Because if we don't become attracted to Krishna, I know this very well personally, if we don't become attracted to Krishna, so many other attachments and so many other attractions will enter the heart. They must enter the heart, because by nature our consciousness seeks pleasure, and if it doesn't find its pleasure in the association of devotees, in Krishna Katha, and that's basically what association of devotee means. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. That in the association of devotees, this is the essence of the association, it is attraction to Krishna, Krishna Katha. So, in any case, the wives of the brahmanas had heard from different sellers who used to go from village to village about Krishna. And amazingly enough, just by hearing about Krishna, they became attracted to him and very attached to him. So, being sent by Krishna, Krishna obviously wanted to set up a contrast between the very official brahmanas who were performing the sacrifice, didn't really know the essence of sacrifice, what it really meant that sacrifice, Yajnavai Vishnu, it is meant to please the Lord. And if we perform a sacrifice exactly properly, but Krishna isn't pleased by it, have we really performed the sacrifice at all? There's an expression, the operation was a success, but yes, that was a great operation. We did it really good. We really got it right, but unfortunately, one little problem, the patient died. So we're meant to be developing our attraction for Krishna more and more and more. So the Brahmins, the contrast that Krishna sets up is first he sends the cowherd boys to the Brahmins and then to their wives who are actually fully deep and spontaneous devotees. So Krishna knew that. So he sent, even though he had never directly met them, but he knew because he certainly knows the heart of his devotees. So he sent the cowherd boys and they went a little bit hesitatingly because they had just been rejected. So when one is rejected, their plea is rejected, it's a little difficult to try again. But they were under the order of Krishna, and he told them, don't worry, you just go. Don't worry, just go. So they went to the cowherd, the Brahmanis, the ladies, and they said, Krishna is nearby with his elder brother, Balaram. Nearby, they are herding the cows. And they kept on speaking, and they sort of preached to the Brahman that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this and that, and this and that. But they looked at them, and they also didn't answer. And they thought, this is really amazing. They asked the Brahmins to told them everything. They asked them for everything, and they completely ignored us. And now we're talking to the Brahmanis, even though Krishna said everything was going to be right with their devotees, and they're also ignoring us. But there was a big difference between the type of ignoring. The wives of the Brahmins, they went in ecstasy. As soon as they heard Krishna is nearby with Balaram, as soon as they heard the name Krishna is nearby, they became speechless in their ecstasy. This is devotion. Just by hearing the name of Krishna, one can associate with Krishna in such a deep way that one actually experiences one's loving relationship with Krishna. And they had attained that just by hearing about Krishna, quite amazingly. They had heard from the other residents of Vrindavan. So when they heard that Krishna was nearby, they were speechless. But they immediately started moving in their ecstasy and gathering all the food. They got golden plates together and they put all the food that was meant for the sacrifice. And they put everything together and they followed the cowherd boys to where Krishna and Balaram was. And suddenly, when they were there, and they were, of course, their husbands who were performing the sacrifice, they tried to stop them, but they couldn't stop them. They couldn't stop them. So they went, followed the boys to where Krishna was, and suddenly they saw Krishna. And there's a wonderful verse, unfortunately I don't remember it. A wonderful verse in this chapter of the Bhagavatam, in the 23rd chapter of the Bhagavatam, that describes what they saw. and how Krishna had a lotus flower, a land lotus, in his left hand. Just tell me the first word and see if I can get any more love. And he was twirling a lotus flower, and it's more or less the picture that the deities Krishna and Balaram are made from, because Krishna, except it was Balaram, but Krishna's hand was resting on his friend, one of his cowherd boy friends, his right hand, his elbow.
Shamam
Aranya
Paridim
Paridim
Vanamalya.
His dhoti was gold. It was gold like lightning. And he was wearing a garland of forest flowers, Vanamalya Barha. Yes? And what's the next line?
Dhatu Tavala.
He was covered the minerals of Vrindavan, and his face was decorated with them. I used to wonder what that meant, you know, were they just like this and all different colors all over their face, like they had come from some football match or soccer game or something like that. But no, it's not like that at all. It's just how the deities are decorated. How when one is decorating the deities with the different colors, very, very delicately putting dots here and this color and that color, very, very delicately making different designs on the cheeks, etc., and many, many different colors. So because the water was there from the different lakes and rivers of Vrindavan, and the clay was there, especially Govardhan, had so many different minerals and clays, the cowherd boys would take that and make their paste, and they would decorate Krishna. And of course, naturally, they all wanted to decorate Krishna. Why? Because that's what they like to do, is decorate Krishna. But if they all wanted to decorate Krishna, there was going to be a problem, because there was Krishna and there was too many cowherd boys there. So Krishna, this is described in other chapters by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, perhaps, how Krishna could be expanded himself so that he explored, because everyone thinks the way they decorate is the best. Just naturally, you don't know how to decorate, I'll show you how to decorate. So Krishna would expand himself and give everyone a chance to serve him. So this is the special nature of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he can actually satisfy all his devotees. We wish that everyone would love us and serve us, but we don't have the capacity to satisfy everyone. It's hard enough to satisfy one person in this world. Even if you try your best and put all your energy into satisfying one person, you can't do it, practically speaking. But Krishna, unlimitedly full of Aishwarya Purna, he can satisfy everyone. So he's uniquely and correctly positioned as the center of all existence, as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, Dattur Pravala, and Pravala means the buds. So he had his ears had earrings of buds, perhaps. Sometimes when the karnika flower, he would put it behind one ear. He had an earring on one ear only. He's the original cool teenager. his friend, twirling of this. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the twirling of the lotus, when he would twirl the lotus, because the Brahmanis were so captivated by him, they felt like their hearts were being twirled. Or, also it says, this lotus is twirling. Simply, my heart is twirling when seeing your devotion. So they looked at him, and simply by the glance of Krishna, or rather, Krishna entered their hearts through their glance, because their glance was filled with devotion. So anyway, of course, they wanted to stay with Krishna, and Krishna sent them home. And they said that, oh, well, how can we go home now? We've just left home, and our husbands and everyone, all our parents, everyone, they were cursing us and saying, you can't go, you can't go, you obey us. We just left, they'll never accept us again. And Krishna said, don't worry, they'll all accept you. And indeed, when they went back, they were accepted. They were ready to stay in the forest and just do service to Krishna, like the other servants, the other Vrindadevi servants, the Lana Devis. So they went back and they were accepted. This is actually the beginning of the Govardhan pastime, because Nanda Maharaj was performing a similar sacrifice for the pleasure of Indra, so that's in the 24th chapter, and then in the 25th chapter. Indra sends so much rain, and Krishna holds up Govardhan Hill and protects all the residents of Vrindavan, including the cows, from the devastation that Indra has caused. And then in the 26th chapter, all the residents of all the cows and men approach Nanda Maharaj, and they say, Nanda Maharaj, what kind of boy is this? We just, with our own eyes, we saw him lift a mountain with his left hand. What does that mean? If you lift, then we will say that the right hand is the strong hand and the left hand is the weak hand. And you speak of lifting it with his grandpa. Which hand is stronger for you? All right. Yeah. Well, Krishna lifted the hill, not even with his strong hand. He lifted it, and not only that, with the little finger of his left hand. That means, I mean, how much weight can you carry? I mean, if you went like this, well, like this, you could carry a weight, but you can only carry an most insignificant weight on the little finger of your left hand. And in this way, Krishna protected all his devotees. So, what is the, so we can see, even, there's a metaphor in that for us too, there's a lesson in that. That it's not because naturally we hesitate to fully give ourselves to Krishna and place ourselves fully under his protection, because first of all we're afraid we're not going to be satisfied for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that we could say, because he has so many devotees, and how about me? I'm so insignificant. Why would he satisfy me? I'm not going to be satisfied, then I'll give up everything in this world to take full shelter of Krishna and give everything to Krishna, but I won't be satisfied even, and then could even cause havoc in my life by the lack of satisfaction. So by separating, as we were mentioning, Krishna separates into so many different Krishnas to satisfy all his devotees, because he uniquely has the power, because he's unlimitedly powerful, to satisfy everyone, thousands, millions, billions, unlimited living entities. He has the capacity to satisfy. And he can do all that effortlessly too, just as he lifted Govardhan Hill and gave protection to everyone. So Prabhupada in one lecture in Mayapur, I don't have the exact quotation, but he said, the purpose of reading all these books, literatures, such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is to become convinced that Krishna is all-merciful and all-powerful, so that we can surrender to him. So that really struck me when I heard Prabhupada say that, because if someone is all-merciful and not all-powerful, if someone is all well-meaning but doesn't have the power, then they may be saying, I'll take care of you, because you don't have the potency to do it. And on the other side, if someone is all-powerful And they're all merciful. It's the most dangerous fellow around. But that combination, all powerful and all merciful, now that's who that's the kind of person we want. We feel confident in taking shelter of. So Prabhupada said in this one lecture that the purpose of all the reading and studying of the Shastra is so that we actually become convinced that Krishna is both all-merciful and all-powerful, and then we'll be able to surrender to him. Because unless we are convinced of this, we'll sort of surrender to him, but we'll keep something up here so that just in case. So of course, when it's time to die, there's no adjusting, no nothing. All the things we have, they all turn out to be puffs of smoke. You know, they don't have any real substance. And the only thing that will really help us is all powerful and all merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we want to, in life, life is meant for developing that type of confidence in him, that if I actually act for his pleasure, then I'll be taken care of. That's where surrender, saranagati, is where bhakti begins. True bhakti begins at that point. So the resonance of Vrindavan, they were talking to Nandamad, and they said, what your boy? He was just holding up Govardhan Hill with one hand. Did you see that? It's quite extraordinary. He's so wonderful. He's so amazing, your boy Krishna. Nandamas was so proud of him. And they said, and not only that, not only did he hold up Govardhan Hill, and then they went through the list of all the demons that Krishna had killed. Who was the first demon that Krishna killed when he was just a child in the lap of his mother?
Putana.
And then? One in between. Sakatasura, then Srinivarta, and then by this time it was also Vatsasura and Bakasura and Putana. Balaram killed Janukasura. So they went through the whole long list of demons and they said, your boy, who is he? And Nanda Maharaj said, all I can say is repeat the words of Garga Muni. Because at the name giving ceremony, Garga Muni said this. He said, Narayana, Samo Ganaya, this boy is equal to Narayana. Equal in qualities to Lord Narayan, and that Anena Sarvadogani, Yavan Yasva, Tanishita, that you should take shelter of him and you'll be free from all difficulties. So that's all I could say. But he was very, very proud. In other words, he was saying, I'm not saying this, but this is what the great Brahmin personality, the greatest astrologer. Gargantua, from looking at him, his symptoms, this is what his conclusion was, that he's practically Lord Narayan. So the cowherd men was so thrilled by this. Why? It's because they realized he had a deep relationship with this is where it happens. Just give me a moment, though. And they conclude, after hearing all this, that Krishna is so wonderful. and let me take shelter of Krishna. I'll read that. This is the last verse from the 20. Third chapter of 23rd day.
26th
chapter. But also, there was something I wanted to say about the end of that 23rd chapter, too. The conclusion. The conclusion was, when all the cowherd men had very attentively heard the statements of Gargajasa through Nanda Maharaj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant. What does jubilant mean?
Beautiful.
Like joyful. And extremely happy and satisfied. Because they had already had such a relationship with Krishna. He loved them and they loved him. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by insulting him, the doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, but Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us. When angry Indra sent torrents of rain accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds, he immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up Govardhan Hill just as easily or just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully. May he continue to glance mercifully over us and our cows. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. That's such a nice prayer. Why don't we read it line by line? You can read it after me. Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us.
Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us.
When angry Indra sent torrents of rain, accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds,
Krishna immediately took compassion upon us.
And saved us.
And our families.
Cows. And valuable possessions.
By picking up Govardhan Hill.
Just as a child picks up a mushroom.
He saved us so wonderfully.
May he continue to glance mercifully over us.
And our cows.
May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. So then, well, before we go on, there was one part after the begging. From the Brahmins, unsuccessful begging from the Brahmins by the cowboys, but going back a little bit, and then the successful begging from the Brahminis. Then this is before the next chapter begins, which is when Krishna speaks to Nanda Maharaj about stopping the Indra sacrifice. There's this little section at the end that's almost missed it, but it's really interesting. Not there. Where is it? It's in the last chapter. After Krishna has stolen the garments of the gopis in the 22nd chapter, right before he goes to the Brahmins, listen to this. He steals the garments of the gopis, then he gives them back. Then there's a little section at the end of that chapter that gives us a hint about what the next chapter is about. This is right at the end of that chapter, meaning the next chapter, meaning Krishna going to Bhatral and begging from the Brahmins. Later, Krishna, in the company of his cowherd boyfriends, took shelter of the shade of some trees and became very happy. Thus he addressed the inhabitants of Vrindavan, meaning the cowherd boys, but he was speaking to everyone. My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varotapa, my dear Bhadrasena, my dear Sudam, my dear Subal, my dear Arjun, my dear Vishal, my dear Rishab, he's naming, he's speaking to all his friends. Just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat, and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. My dear friends, I think they are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. So in the very next chapter, the Krishna is glorifying these trees as being so charitable, even though it's so difficult for them, their life is so difficult, yet they're completely charitable. And the very next thing he does is send the cowherd boys to approach the mountains, and he gets refused. He continues, no one is denied sheltered by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are a perfect example of noble life. So just see how Krishna is, he's defining what nobility in mankind is. And how is he defining it?
Basically, means the tree is very generous.
Yeah, exactly. So one's position in society and one's respect is determined by one's generosity. And that's nobility of spirit, generosity, and willing to give shelter and help to others. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his mind, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words for the welfare of all living entities. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked on the bank of the Kalindi, touching the leaves of the trees and their fruits, flowers, and twigs, and praising their glorious welfare activities. He's talking about everything in Vrindavan, so generous hearted. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society according to their own views, but the welfare activities that can be rented to people in general. Eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada is bringing it, the topic, to the highest point of what is true welfare. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement. As instructed by Lord Chaitanya, one should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. The toleration of the tree is explained by Lord Krishna himself, and those who are engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through their direct disciples and churches. In other words, if you're going to be, you know, when we're young, we have a romantic idea about, you know, we'll give everything for the benefit, may have a romantic idea that for the benefit of humanity, I will give away everything, and then you find out that it's really a lot of trouble. You know, first of all, no one appreciates it, or some person appreciates it, and someone is very angry at you, and you find out that you have your own needs, you don't feel like you're satisfied, and then wanting to give everything to everyone else, you need to take at least some portion for yourself. So the romance, because it's sentiment, and sentiment means that it's not deep, it's not fully deeply realized, that leaves after a while. So therefore, Prabhupada is saying that those engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna through their practice of succession. So we have to learn these lessons, but this is actually what Mahaprabhu is ordering, this Trinadapi Sanitana. You have to be humble, completely humble. If you have false ego, you just get angry, you end up just getting angry and insulted, etc. When people don't give the same value to the message as you think should be valued. So after that little piercing episode, then while passing through the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna sat down in a beautiful spot and allowed the cows to drink the cool, cold and transparent water of the Yamuna. Being fatigued, the cowherd boys, Krishna and Balaram also drank. So Krishna passed the rest of the morning with the boys, and then he was hungry, and they asked, and they went begging. So the 26th chapter ends with that was the one where the cowherd men were asking about wonderful Krishna, and the conclusion of what kind of boy is this? And the conclusion of that chapter is that let us all, since Krishna is so unlimited and powerful, let us all be under the merciful, all-powerful protection and live peacefully under his protection, under his glance. Unless one actually feels that one is under the protection of Krishna, one won't be able to live peacefully in this world. And that's why that Prabhupada called that verse in the fifth chapter, Mokaram Zagatapasam Savalokamayasvaram Suridam. That's Suridam. That Krishna is the Surit. He's the dearmost friend. But not only he's the friend, but he's, how does the verse begin? Mokaram. That's all sacrifices meant for him. And Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, so that's the all-powerful nature of Krishna. That he's all-powerful, that of all the planets, he is the Maha-Ishwara, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And then he's the Surit also, Suridam Sarvaloka. In everyone's heart, it is Krishna who's there. And then Gyatramam, knowing that about Krishna, something, one can be peaceful. Because otherwise, if we don't trust Krishna, we don't depend on Krishna, and we don't trust that he's our Surit, our near and dear friend, then who are we going to depend on? We either depend on our own power, our own strength, or some other limited person for our happiness, for our shelter, and ultimately our protection. And no one else can really be an asraya, our protection, because no one else is unlimitedly powerful. And look how Krishna is grown by the trees. How wonderful. So then means tomorrow. We'll continue. Then the 26th, and Indra and Sarabi offer their prayers. And then 27, and then 28, Nanda Maharaj, and then we'll go right to the end of 28. We'll pass quickly through those other parts and get to the end of 28, which is where I wanted to speak from. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. See, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jesus.
Were the Brahmins, were they older ladies, or?
Probably.
Yeah, because I just can't understand how come, you know, they were concerned about their position being the wife, you know, of their husbands, you know, after giving food to Krishna. If they were older Brahmins, you know, Krishna was a young boy at the time.
So they had completely fell in love with Krishna, so they weren't old ones. They're young ones. Must be. because they didn't have the Vatsalyaras, what Krishna had, Madhuryaras. Would have been, yeah.
Does that mean they would see Krishna as sort of older, even though he was a young person
at the time? It doesn't say how old they were at all. So Krishna was already, Krishna's pastimes, he can manifest, he was just in Pogandalila, that means 5, 6, 7. He can manifest all the qualities of Kishorlila even in Pogandalila. So that's part of what it means to be the unlimited, all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do all kinds of amazing things.
Cowherd boys, I just can't remember all the details, but he was in Titania Leela and he was living, it was in a village where Lord Nityananda was married, just near Shimapali.
Ambika Kona.
Lord Titania first sort of manifests himself as like a devotee. He stayed at that devotee's place who used to be the cowherd boy in Krishna Leela. I just can't think of his name. I've heard the story, but and he was sending him out each day to collect alms for him. So it was sort of enacting that same pastime.
Not Gauridas.
Could be Gauridas, yeah. Because Gauridas deities are in the calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it must be Gauridas. But it was the same devotee in Krishna Leela. So it was the same pastime.
Is that near the Sringapali?
Not far from it.
I need to figure out where the things are.
Yeah.
Where the places are.
Yeah. I did a pre-prima a couple of years ago when we did the Shimapali and Amidi Kalna in the same
place.
So it wasn't far. Yeah.
Because in Shingapali there's also in a Krishnanagar, isn't it?
No, it's in Kodnanagar.
Okay, I don't know. That's
what it's called.
But it's far, it's quite a few kilometers from there.
The other way on the other side. But if you go up from Ambika Kalna to Navadu, then you cross the bridge to Bhaktivinoda Gopas and go up to Shingapali.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, Shingapali is on the third day of Hari Kram.
Yeah, not that far in Shingapali. You can walk there quite easy. It was just interesting hearing that past time that the two are connected there. Mm. These devotees have eternal Leela somehow, but you know, every time they appear, they're doing the same sort of activity. Mm.
Wouldn't it be nice to have such a taste that our mind wanted to be always absorbed? The mind was naturally attracted to be always absorbed in these things, otherwise. Yeah. Yeah.
With the nature of beings, yeah, they sound kind of simplistic in one sense.
Well, the manual also sounds pretty simplistic too.
No, it's just like, just in a sense, it's like, you know, the cow demon, the duck demon, or, you know. Is that what they name themselves? Or is just...
you mean the mother? Oh, what a cute little duck demon. Bucky.
So, what's the conclusion of this?
People get names according to their qualities, like that. So, you know,
So astrologically they were giving this thing?
No.
Like nickname. Hey, fatty, fat boy, something like that. What did they call you when you were young?
I didn't have any nickname.
Yeah. You just don't want to tell. Did you have a nickname when you were young?
Can't say.
Would anyone admit to one of their nicknames? It was based on their qualities.
Wombat.
Wombat? I thought you called him that.
No.
You always told me you called him that.
I know his nickname. Yeah, I'm being
honest. Truth eventually comes out. What are the specific qualities of a wombat?
Well,
Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra means holding on to the kingdom, and that's certainly what he did. And like someone like Vatsasura, who is Vatsa means calf, so he assumed the form of a calf, and probably. Huh? Yeah, but before that he was probably had another name.
You mean your wife is the mother of the human child?
Simplistic was the word. And what was it? Self-fulfilling prophecy. He was going to be a good boy and go to university and everything. With a name like that, what else could he do? Any other questions? Okay, so tomorrow we shall continue.